darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And of course, this is not Abraham Hamilton III, the inimitable, but this is rather E.W. Jackson. But I am humbly grateful to have the opportunity to sit in for this wonderful young man of God. He's out today. I'll be here today and tomorrow sitting in for him. But I am, of course, very, very glad to be with you. And as always, let me first express my thanks to all of you for sticking with AFR, for praying for us, for supporting us in every way you can. So very, very grateful to you for that. I want to take a moment to just thank all the folks. You all know the personalities that come on the radio, but you don't know a lot of the people who work behind the scenes, like the producer who is with me right now, Bobby, and Randy, who was with me when I was on full time, and so many others. I would fail if I tried to name them all, but they are working behind the scenes. Jeff and others, they're working behind the scenes to make sure that we do what we do and that we can do what we do, because frankly, we couldn't do it without them, at least to speak for yours truly. I know I couldn't, because sometimes I don't know an on button from a volume button. I mean, so I try to leave it to people who know what they're doing. And our engineers and tech people and producers really do know what they're doing. That's why this program is possible. I just want to thank them for all that they do to make it possible. Well, look, we've got a lot to talk about, as always, today. I want to get to Halloween. Just put a little note to yourself there, because I want to get to that before the end of the day. I read an interesting article in CBN, but I don't want to start off there. I want to start off with something that those of you listening to me from around the country may not think about, but those of you in Virginia are thinking about it, and I want those of you around the country to be thinking about it. Virginia stands on the precipice, folks. And remember, Virginia is the land of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and James Madison and James Monroe and George Mason and so many other illustrious leaders who played such a vital role in the founding of our country, the great preacher Jonas Clark and so many others. I'm sorry, not Jonas Clark. Who am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of it'll come to me, but I'm thinking of the preacher who preached it at Woodstock and preached that great sermon just before going out and leading his men out into the fray. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank there, but at any rate, a lot of wonderful people. We are on the precipice of being the state of Karl Marx, because Abigail Spanberger and Jay Jones, the guy who made the infamous statements, you know, he'd like to see Todd Gilbert killed, and this woman Hamry, who is one of these sort of Muslim radical, sort of a female version of Azor Mamdani. I mean, that's what they have presented to us. And right now, the polls are indicating that Jason Meares, the Republican candidate for Attorney General, who has done a magnificent job. Let me just say, I don't know Jason well, but I do know him, and our paths have crossed from time to time. I just want to say publicly what a tremendous job he's done as Attorney General. He really has. I mean, he stepped up to the plate and just really been a courageous and active Attorney General, standing up for all the right things. And I couldn't have asked more of him. And he is running ahead, and it looks like he is going to win. The other two candidates are running behind, the other three candidates. We have two candidates for lieutenant governor, one who is on the ballot, one who is running a write-in campaign, because the candidate on the ballot is an openly practicing homosexual, John Reed. I cannot vote for him in good conscience, and many Christians feel the same way. even though he is the Republican nominee. There is another person running who just failed to get on the ballot, but he's running a write-in campaign, another John Curran. I will be voting for him. But either one of them, frankly, is going to be a whole lot better than the Democrat. There's no question about that. But I have a principle conscience reason why I simply cannot vote for a person who is openly practicing homosexuality and holds that out as a normal way of life. I simply can't vote for a person who does that. So obviously I'm not voting for the Democrat either, because John Reed is wrong about that. But he is right about a lot of things. This woman is right about nothing, about nothing. So I'm going to cast my write-in ballot for John Curran. I said all that to say, folks, and I know AFR doesn't endorse candidates or anything like that, but the election is coming up. The only two elections that the country is paying attention to in this off year, in odd years, Virginia and New Jersey has our elections in off years. And so we've got the Virginia gubernatorial race happening, and we've got the New Jersey gubernatorial race happening. I don't know what's going to happen there. It's not as close to me as this is, obviously. But please pray for us in Virginia, because this is ultimately not really about politics. This is about faith. This is about principle. This is about whether Virginia is going to continue to uphold the standard of righteousness. You know, George Washington, my favorite American historical figure. I mean, I really do love George Washington. I want to meet Jesus when I go to heaven, and there's other people on the list. But I tell you what, George Washington is really near the top. I really want to talk to him, because I just think that he is the person God used more than any other single human being to found this nation. I think he really was the indispensable man, and just an extraordinary figure. But he had a statement. He would say, "All we can do is lift up a standard to which good and honest men can repair. The rest is in the hands of God." And that's what we've got to do. You know, lift up a standard to which the good and honest can repair. We cannot control the outcome. We can only do our part. And so I just want to say to all the Christians in Virginia particularly, please, please get out and vote. If you haven't voted yet, please get out and vote. And please vote your Christian conscience. Don't vote race. Don't vote party. Vote your Christian principles and conscience. I haven't voted yet, by the way, folks. I intended to do it today and got busy and didn't get around to it, because we have early voting in Virginia. But I am going to get it done probably before voting day, so I'm not stuck in a line on voting day. But for the rest of you who aren't in Virginia, please pray for us. Please pray for Virginia. We really do need a miracle in Virginia right now. Winsome Sears has run behind this entire race. She has never been ahead. I'm believing God that she's going to win by a point. The lieutenant governor's race, I don't know. I just don't know. The Republican Party of Virginia, for whatever reason, I'm not that involved in state politics as I once was. My ministry tends to take me more around the country, and I'm in different places. I mean, I'm leaving here in a couple of days to be in Missouri, and I'm going to be in Arkansas, and I'm going to be in Colorado, and so I end up being a lot of different places and don't get to focus as much time and attention on Virginia. But at a moment like this, I'm very much concerned about what's going to happen in Virginia, and doing everything that I can to make sure that the outcome is what it ought to be. So please get out and vote if you're in Virginia. And for the rest of you, please pray for Virginia, because I don't want the state of George Washington to become the state of Karl Marx. I don't want the state that gave us our Constitution and our Bill of Rights to become the state that gives us the Communist Manifesto. And that's exactly where you can see, by the way, which is the next topic I want to bring up. You can see, by the way, from Mamdani and what's happening there in New York. I mean, they just had a rally today. I think 14,000 people showed up. 14,000. Of course, New York's a big place, and 14,000 is not a lot of people for New York, but it's a big crowd to assemble, though. I mean, it's not easy to assemble a crowd of 14,000 people, but they did it. And it just goes to show, and many of those people were young people. In fact, I don't know whether you saw any of the video, but behind him were a bunch of Sikhs wearing their turbans. You know, I've said, I think we're underestimating the Muslim vote in New York. About 9% of New Yorkers are Islamic. But I guarantee you they're probably overrepresented in the voting population, because I guarantee you they're voting. Because, folks, look, can we just put this out there because it's important to say it, and very few will say it. Islam is a supremacist religious ideology that believes in taking over the world by any means necessary. In that sense, it is very much like communism. And by the way, Zohar Mamdani is a 12er, which means he believes in the coming of the 12th Mahdi, the 12th Imam, who is the Mahdi, who is the Imam who will lead the world and preside over the world as the worldwide caliphate. In other words, he is their Messiah figure. And Mamdani believes very much in that. He's in agreement. He's a Shiite Muslim. He's in agreement with the Iranians, and he is very much expecting the Mahdi to come. And when he complains about his faith, he's being attacked because of his faith. Oh, please. The mainstream media, when I ran for lieutenant governor, they were all over me about what I believed about abortion, what I believed about homosexuality. They just couldn't get enough of that. No matter what I was talking about, I could be talking about highways and taxes, and they want to say, well, now what about what you said about homosexuality? And him, they haven't questioned at all about what he believes, what his faith teaches him. The red-green axis, folks, because these leftists are very much in favor. They love the people who hate America, and that's what brings them together. And let's make no mistake about it. Mamdani hates America. He hates it. And he thinks America is horrible. And he is maybe he's the Muslim Messiah, I guess, for America. Now, this stuff is wow. I mean, folks, it's shocking to watch this unfold in our country. So we really do need to be praying. We've got some of that, again, happening right here in Virginia. Texas is having a big Muslim push right now. And look, let me just say again, also for the record, and I know all of you listening to me now know this, but here again, very few people are willing to say this publicly, but it must be said. Islam does not follow the same God, does not worship the same God as the God of the Bible. They do not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've got a different God. They call that God Allah, but that God is a pagan deity that is not real. Because this God is said that God does not beget, neither is he begotten, but the true and living God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. They are a false but ancient cult. That's all they are. They were birthed in violence. They continue to be a violent cult. And everybody who gets really into the orthodoxy of Islam turns violent, because Muhammad is their example. And Muhammad was a violent, bloodthirsty warlord. He is their ultimate example of what a good Muslim is. So let's not kid ourselves here. Now look, we're in America. If you practice whatever religion you practice and you practice it peacefully, you have the right to practice it. And I support your right to practice it. But that doesn't mean I respect what you practice or agree with what you practice, or that I'm not going to criticize what you practice, because I've got a right in practicing my faith to critique anything out there that I know is false. And the Word of God says we're supposed to hate every false way. We don't hate the people, but we hate the false way. And Islam is a false way. And it looks like they're about to elect one in Virginia to lead them as mayor. Sad. Very, very sad. Okay. Wanted to get that out there, and we've got a number of other topics that we're going to get to. So please, folks, stand by, because like I said, we've got a lot to discuss, and then later on in the program, I want to hear from you. I'm E.W. Jackson, sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III here on American Family Radio. Back in a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, starting in verse 18, it tells us these words. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That contains what we call the Great Commission. God calls us to be a disciple and to make disciples. And that's a command God lays before us each and every day. Every day is a day for us to follow Jesus Christ and to be involved in the work of helping and teaching and encouraging others to follow Jesus Christ as well. Ask someone how you can pray for them. Encourage someone to read 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Pray for God to help you to both be a faithful disciple and to make disciples as well.
What if healthcare could be more than bills and bureaucracy? What if it could reflect faith, foster community, and offer spiritual support? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, the mission goes beyond medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and embracing healthcare that aligns with Christian values. Redeem members share medical expenses through monthly contributions, supporting one another in a Christ-centered community. It's not insurance, it's believers helping believers through financial support and prayer. And Redeem HealthShare provides freedom for members to select the doctors, hospitals, and treatments that are right for them. No networks, no restrictions, just faith-driven care. From everyday checkups to unexpected medical emergencies, Redeem offers flexible programs and encouragement rooted in Scripture. Because your healthcare should reflect your faith, not compromise it. More at redeemhealthshare.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. It's an honor to sit in the seat for him today. Be with you again tomorrow, I suspect. In the meantime, folks, we've got a lot of important matters to discuss. I ask for your prayers for Virginia. Thank you, because I know you all hear and answer. For those of you in Virginia, to get out and vote your Christian values, I know you're going to do that if you haven't already. Let's get to another topic. And, of course, I talked a little bit about what's going on in New York, which is just a sad, sad affair. It really is, that this wonderful city is really becoming a haven of demons. And he's apparently about to be chief among them. But look, I want to come to something else. Chicago is really, it is a basket case. And this mayor, Brendan Johnson, this guy is, he is, words almost escape me. Because you hear about this latest controversy, some reporter asked him about ICE working, about the city of Chicago working cooperatively with ICE in order to find and deport illegal aliens. And he went off. Illegal aliens? What have you been looking at, some sci-fi movie? Now, first of all, you want to say, dum-dum, the word alien borrowed and used in entertainment culture to describe a being, a fictional being from another planet somewhere, is not the original meaning of the term. It is a legal term, which means foreigner. That's all it means. An illegal foreigner is a person who is in our country from another country who does not have the legal right to be here. And I don't call them immigrants. To me, it's now illegal alien invaders. Because that's what we had under the Biden administration. We didn't have immigrants coming into our country. We had an invasion. And who knows what the number is. I said, I really believe that the number of illegal aliens in the country right now is probably between 30 and 35 million. I don't know. President Trump setting up the situation in which people start self-deporting is really going to be the ultimate way this happens, by just turning the heat up so much that people just say, well, you know what? I'm gone because I don't. I can't get a sleepless. I can't get a good night's sleep. I can't. I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. And to me, that'd be a good thing. Then they deport on their own. And they've offered them, say, if you self-deport, you can come back and apply for citizenship. But if we deport you, you are gone forever. You can never come back. By the way, one of the things that I said when I was running for president, I said, I would make it an absolute rule that if you are caught here as an illegal alien, we deport you, you have no right ever to apply for American citizenship, ever. That opportunity is completely gone. That's why I'm so grateful to God for President Trump doing things that I thought of and nobody else even talked about other than him. So I'm grateful to God for that. But he says to this reporter, I'm not going to use a racist term like illegal alien. He said, yeah, but it's the legal term. And it is. It's the legal term. He says, well, you know, slave was once the legal term. What do you want me to call my people? Notice the language, my people. What does that even mean, my people? You're the mayor of Chicago. You're talking about Chicagoans? Well, I believe Chicagoans are from different racial or ethnic backgrounds. But he's not talking about them. My people. He's only talking about people of African ancestry, people who he considers to be black. And by the way, he only considers them to be black if they're in agreement with him. But you want me to call my people slaves? Well, slavery ended 160 years ago. So what is he even talking about? Folks, this is why, you know, I've dubbed this racial obsession syndrome. This is a psychological malady. This man is sick, morally. He can navigate life. He's not psychotic, but he is definitely neurotic. There's really something wrong with his whole moral compass. That he gets all worked up about that and then brings up slavery. What's this got to do with slavery? These people are in our country illegally. They do not belong here. And they never address that. It's as if the law simply doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is their own moral sensibility. And it's not because they don't have any morals. What matters is these people offer me the opportunity for power in the future, and I'm going to do everything I can to take care of them, to cultivate them, to give them benefits, to do whatever I need to do to protect them, to keep them here, because eventually they are a pathway to power for my party. That's all this boils down to. Other than that, they could care less about these people. I'll tell you, it exasperates me to hear such talk. You know, we've started in my organization something called the Deracialization of America, and our first project under that is something I'm calling the King Douglas Forum. And what we're going to do there is begin to challenge some of these stupid ideas that these people are propagating about race. America's systemically racist. Really, prove it. Prove it. Now, yeah, you might go back 100 years and say, well, you know, this happened, that happened. Okay, I'll grant you that. We don't have a perfect history on anything because we're not a perfect people. And we don't live in a vacuum. We live in the world at large. Our country was birthed into the world at large in the 17th century. Well, technically, we became independent in the 18th century, but in 1776. But we existed within a context of the world, and we are subject to some of the same vagaries and mistakes and errors of the world at large, the world which we inherited, which our founding fathers inherited. But no nation has been as great a champion for freedom as the United States of America. And this notion that we are systemically racist and that all white people are racist and all, I mean, this stuff is just political propaganda. It's nonsense. Of course, it has a nefarious agenda and intent to it, which is to make certain people feel guilty, to make certain people feel like victims, so that they can step into the breach and say, but we will be your saviors and we will be your hero. And for those of you who we classify as oppressors, we will be your nemesis. We will call you to heal and call you to account. But we will be the heroes of those people that we dub to be the victims. I am nobody's victim. And I've never been a slave. I am free. And I'm free because I am an American. And God gave me this freedom. And I live in a country that recognizes my liberty as a God-given attribute of who I am and what I am as a human being. And anybody who will take advantage of the freedom that God has given us and seek to do productive things with their lives, anybody in this country more than any other can thrive and prosper and accomplish wonderful things and be a servant and make a contribution to the country, their community, to the country, to the world at large. Anybody who wants to do that in this nation more than any other can do that. Give me a break, systemically racist. I want to have that discussion with people. I want people who love to throw that tripe out. I want to hear them defend it. I want to hear them explain it to me. I want to hear them to tell me that all the black men in prison are in prison because of racism. I want to hear that. I want to hear that explanation about the murderer, about the rapist, about the robber, about all the black people that they've killed. I want to explain it to me that they were just picked up off the street and just thrown into prison because they're black. Please defend that proposition. Well, you can't. Did you all see the video of that woman challenging this woman on abortion and on its impact on the black community? It was two black women talking, and the one who was defending abortion was larger. She got so upset with this woman just using facts and logic to challenge her, she punched her in the face. Because she didn't have any answers. She didn't have any facts. She didn't have any truth. All she had was violence, which she didn't know just proved that she had absolutely nothing to offer. That's a discussion we need to have. You know, Charlie Kirk has really inspired me on this. We need to give people a chance to show themselves how dumb they are when you start asking them pertinent questions and they don't have answers. Because there are no answers, because all they bought into the labels, the lies, the shibboleths, the propaganda, the indoctrination, they bought into it. There's no evidence, there's no facts, there's no reasoning behind it. And when you start to challenge them, they trip all over themselves, and either they come to the realization, you know what, I'm holding views that I can't defend, or they just get mad and want to attack you and destroy you because you are pulling the cover off of their facade. So, how in the world do people keep voting for people like this Brandon Johnson and like the Zohar Mamdani? These people are horrible. And by the way, let me say, and the answer is not violence. The answer is not hurting them. The answer is not killing them. The answer is not wishing them ill. The answer is voting them out. And then ultimately praying for their salvation, because these people are profoundly lost. They don't know it. They're on their way to hell on an express train, and they don't know it. They think they've got it all together. They think they've got the truth, and they're full of lies. The King Douglas Forum. We haven't made plans on exactly where we're going to start, but probably we'll start this locally. As the Lord blesses us with the resources to get these off the ground. We've done some of these in the past, but never with a consistent plan to keep them going, in part because, you know, you need resources to do this stuff. And that's what's been so successful about Charlie Kirk's movement, about Turning Point USA. They've had the resources to just keep going. He started out with a major donation from a wonderful donor that I happen to know, as a matter of fact. And he got started and just never stopped, kept it going. And that's why he's had such impact. But look, there's more work to be done, folks, because all those people who showed up, a lot of those people who showed up at that Mamdani abomination, a lot of those were young people. They apparently haven't gotten the memo. So there's a whole lot more work to be done. Let me hit two other things. Then we're going to get to a break. And when I come back, I want to take your calls. Where's my telephone number? I didn't do that. I don't have that in front of me. I normally do. Oh, here it is. I think this is it. There we go. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number. Oops. Excuse the noise, folks. 888-589-8840 is the number. This White House ballroom deal, let me just address this for a second. You know, here's the sum total of my response to these people with all this consternation about a White House ballroom that no taxpayer is going to have to contribute a dime for, that is going to add a wonderful element to the White House because now they'll be able to hold larger events without having to go outside, which is a great security measure, and also just provides a great convenience for the President of the United States. So he doesn't have to leave the confines of the White House to do some of these larger events that they might want to do. And for those people who are all worked up, this is a sign that he's a dictator. I mean, get a life. That's all. I mean, get a life. Hey, that's some of the people have gone through an analysis. We've had five major renovations of the White House. Five major renovations. Truman, I think, did the largest one. When a president comes into office, he may look at things about the White House and realize, you know, this could be better. And I think President Trump has looked at the limitation on the size of events that they can do in the White House and thought, you know, it'd be great if the White House had a ballroom. That way we could have larger events in the White House. What is wrong with that? He's not taking it with him when he goes. It will be a continued fixture. And I guarantee you, I hope no Democrat ever gets elected again. I hope. But if one does, I guarantee you they will use that ballroom because the ballroom is going to belong to the people of the United States, not to President Trump. And all the resources being poured into building it are a gift to us, the people, because it is the people's house. It ultimately belongs to us. And we allow a tenant to live in there for 4 years and then maybe give him a 4-year extension on his lease. If we like him, and he gets to stay for 8, but then he's got to go, and a new tenant comes in. What is their problem? Well, we know what the problem is. They're so obsessed with hatred for President Donald J. Trump that there's just absolutely nothing that he can do that would ever cause them to even. You know how long their commendation of the peace agreements that he's engineering in Israel and the Middle East. But that lasted about a hot minute, didn't it? Because there's nothing he can ever do that would ever cause them to recognize him, to compliment him, to acknowledge him, to respect him as President of the United States. These people are just full of hatred. You know, I'm really glad I don't have to live in their skin. You know, because I never hated Barack Obama. Boy, couldn't stand his policies. But I never hated him personally. And I didn't hate Joe Biden. Thank God, I don't want my life poisoned with hatred for people because I don't agree with them. And because I don't like the things that they do. I mean, hate what they do, but don't hate them. But these folks are full of hatred for President Trump. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number. When we come back, I'll start taking your calls.
Exploring Missions with Pastors Bert and Nathan Harper.
When I became a Christian believer, I felt that God was calling me to go to North India as a witness.
We focus on the most vulnerable in the Metro Atlanta area.
Operation Care International is started in Dallas, and now we have partnered with 52 countries.
Exploring Missions explores missions. Find it on the podcast page at afr.net. AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a Great Commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And we're back. I'm your host today, Bishop E.W. Jackson. One other thing, and then I want to come to the calls. It's 888-589-8840. And that is Halloween, because I read an article in CBN magazine that pointed out that we usually spend, we meaning the American people, usually spend about $10 billion a year on Halloween, that it's the second most expensive holiday on the calendar, which I didn't realize. Second, let's see, the only thing, what do we spend more money on other than Halloween? I'm pretty sure that it's Christmas. But this year, apparently, we're projected to break a record in 2025 and spend $13.1 billion on Halloween. This article is written, it's really kind of a commentary by someone who says former witches and people who participated in Hollywood. Well, that's it. About the same, isn't it? In Halloween, urging Christians to not participate in Halloween because of the things that they know, the demonic forces that they know are behind it. Now, when I got saved, I stopped participating in Halloween. As a kid, I did. When I got saved, I stopped because I couldn't reconcile it, the ghouls, the goblins, the death, and all of that, the witches, the warlocks, and I couldn't reconcile it with what the scripture says about all that stuff. But I was rather surprised to find that there are Christians who get right into it and participate in all of that. So I don't know if it's because they just don't have the revelation or because it's a matter of tradition, they think it's okay. Christians have always tried to co-opt things like some things and kind of twist them, turn them into something Christian and sort of get it away from, so we say, the more secular or even pagan aspects. I don't think that's possible with Halloween. I think it's a dead holiday, frankly, folks. But I'm just shocked that the American people, are going to spend over $13 billion on Halloween. Wow. 888-589-8840 is the number. Any topic I brought up or anything you want to bring up, feel free. Let's get right to the calls. Let's go to Cheryl in Tennessee. Cheryl, welcome.
Well, this is Cheryl in Texas.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Cheryl, that is my eyesight's fault.
It's okay. I'm right there with you. Wearing my glasses right now. Anyway, thank you so much for being on with us today. I'm so glad you're back.
It's a pleasure.
So you mentioned we were invaded. I completely agree with you on that note. So my thought is, if our government is not going to get these people out of here, and I'm not talking about just the Hispanics, you know, from the right, different communities. We have people of a lot of nations, like over 30-something nations came in. Are they also trying to get them out? Let me finish this statement. That's a question. But then on the other side of it, I've heard that a lot of these people from the Middle East that come over here from India and Sudan or wherever, you know, all those countries over there, every time they come to our country, our government gives them money. And that's not cool. Yeah. Because in these big fancy Nancy homes while the rest of us out here are struggling.
Cheryl, it's so good to hear you, and thank you for the call. Look, you are absolutely right. And by the way, Cheryl, let me just say, numbers I've seen are that we have had over 150 countries that have sent illegal aliens into our nation, 150. Now, most of these countries do come from South America, of course, Central and South America. But, you know, people also, they try to make this a racial thing. I don't know whether you all are aware of this, but do you know only 14% of the population of the earth is European? only 14%. If you have people coming from all over the world into our country, that means only a small percentage of them are going to come from Europe, even assuming that it's proportional. So it's not, has nothing to do with race or language or whether they're Hispanic or middle. It has to do with the fact that they're here illegal. And I know all of you would agree with me on this. I don't care if you're from Ireland or England or Spain or Germany or France or China or some country in Africa or the Middle East. If you're here illegally, you've got to go, period. And it has nothing to do with race. And by the way, here's another fact that they don't bring up. Do you know the people coming into our country legally? Do you know only 13% of the people who come into our country that we allow in legally every year are from Europe? I mean, just think about that. This is not racial. This is simply a matter of protecting our sovereignty. And I like the fact that President Trump is cracking down on the citizenship test, because as far as I'm concerned, if we have an inkling that you don't love this country and that you're not coming here for liberty and you're not coming here because you want to be an American and you want to participate in this wonderful nation, the United States of America, if I have an inkling of that, as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't be allowed in, period. You should be told no. We only want people who are coming because they love our country, they love what we represent, and they want to be a part of this wonderful liberty that we have and this recognition that the liberty comes from Almighty God. Thank you for the call, Cheryl. Let's go to Corey in Arkansas. Corey, welcome.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
I am blessed. How are you?
Good, good. First of all, I'll call you honorary president. I know you didn't make it, but whatever.
Thank you.
When it comes to Brandon Johnson, though, when he says my people, maybe he's talking about the people that are on the welfare plantation. Yeah. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Others on the government dole, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've got a lot of volunteers that join that movement.
And he's only too happy to add more.
Like he just wants to keep them there.
Well, that's how you control them. That's how you control them.
For that, so.
Yeah. Wow, Corey, thank you for the call. You've raised a very important issue, and I've said this before. The spirit of the Democrat Party has not changed. It's still the party of slavery, but it's not physical slavery. It's psychological slavery. It's dependency. It's controlling people by manipulating them and creating dependence in them so that they turn to you for everything. I mean, that's just, it's really just a slave system with another style to it, but it's the same thing. And he's got the nerve to be talking about what should we call them slaves? He's the one who's making slaves. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Chris in North Carolina.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man? God bless you.
Bless you too, Chris. Doing wonderful.
Good, good. Look, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I have a college degree in microbiology. And one of the things I learned when I was working on a thesis that I needed to graduate was the very fact that there's no such thing as separate races. We have different ethnicities made up by our genetics, but just the very fact that we look different on the outside is a way for those with money and power to keep in power as long as you can get these two people groups, you know, fighting one another. And unfortunately, I think it's truth, and these are good ideas, but it's going to take a generation to die before these new ideas hopefully catch hold.
Yeah, wow. Again, Chris, man, you really hit the nail on the head. Thank you so much for the call. And by the way, as I pointed out many times, this didn't begin when people began to travel the world and find people who look differently than their home demographic. This was practiced on every continent among people who all looked the same. I mean, the Russian serf system was a slave system. And who were they practicing the slavery against of serfdom? Against other Russians. The British were trying to enslave the Irish. And the Irish looked just like the British. Chinese people were enslaving other Chinese people. Africans were enslaving other Africans. I mean, this is, has nothing to do with skin color. This has to do with the fallenness of the human being. As I've said many times, it's not the skin, it's the sin. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Gary in Florida. Gary, welcome.
Hello, sir. You ask why people, Christians, participate in Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 71 years old, but we did when I was a child. My dad was a Southern Baptist minister. Now, back then, it wasn't near like, I mean, there'd be a few pumpkins, you know, jack-o'-lanterns
right,
out,
right.
And a few ghost people in ghost costumes, but you didn't have all the ghouls and goblins. And,
Yeah. You
know, we wore, you know, homemade costumes, tried to look like superheroes, which I think there was two of them, Batman and Superman back then. So I guess it was had more to do with, you know, let the children have fun, let them get some candy, as long as we're not getting into the evil stuff.
Right. I think you're right, Gary. Thanks so much for the call. I think you're right. I think there was an attempt. Because I know when my children were in elementary school, my wife and I kind of struggled with this because they were having a Halloween party at the school. And we think, oh, my goodness, you know, we didn't want our children to become pariahs and think, well, you know, why are they not in school? They're not part of the. So what we did was we made up biblical costumes for our children and told them, well, you go tell them that you represent a Bible character and we'll try to bring some light into the situation. So, you know, that was sort of our compromise to try to keep our children from feeling like they were being deprived of the fun. But you're right. Look, the world has become a much, much darker place. I just saw a documentary recently about three guys, part of this heavy metal band stuff, and they had decided that they were going to sell their souls to Satan and offer up a sacrifice on Halloween, and they were going to kill 666 blue-eyed, blonde-haired virgins. And I mean, it just – so you are right, Gary. Things have changed since perhaps you and I were children. Not that I'm justifying, by the way, celebrating Halloween, because, I mean, it is what it is, and it is a holiday that grows out of pagan practices in worship. But you're right. I mean, it's a very different thing now, perhaps, than it was then. 888-589-8840 is the number. Oh, my goodness, I'm almost out of time. Let me see if I can get to Frank in Mississippi. Frank, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I understand that October 31st was Reformation Day, when Martin Luther separated from the Catholic Church. So I believe the Catholic Church changed that. They wouldn't, you know, celebrate the Reformation Day. They celebrate Halloween. And the Catholic Church is a demonic, evil religion. And one more subject about, you know, the blacks, the slavery that, you know, white man brought them to the shore, and the tribal leaders brought their own people and sold them and made money off of them. And that needs to be exposed and talked about. Anytime you get in a problem, yeah, you know, about racism, their own people sold them to white man. Okay.
Well, that you are absolutely right about that, Frank. I mean, this was, but again, why was that even possible? It was possible because they were already practicing slavery before Europeans ever got there. I mean, it's not like Europeans arrived and said, hey, we got this great idea, you know, sell us some slaves. They were already practicing slavery. It was practiced all over the world. But you see, part of this is timing. Just as the printing press comes into being, just as mass travel around the world comes into being, just as universities and colleges come into being, The Atlantic slave trade now is coming into a time when people are writing and communicating and talking about things that had never really been written about or communicated before. Plus, from a Christian perspective, people feeling that slavery was inherently morally wrong, now it's gotten a lot more attention. But if you just go back just a little bit before the Atlantic slave trade started, guess what? You'll find slavery everywhere being practiced by pretty much all the wealthy people. So I say, you know, get over it. It's time to move on. Listen, that's going to do it, folks. It's been great to be with you, as always. In for Abraham Hamilton III, great man of God. Thank you all so much for all that you do. Remember, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.